go ahead and call the meeting to order. Representative Albright, have you had a chance to peruse the minutes from yesterday, the 23rd?
Yep. So moved.
We'll take Representative Carlson to move the minutes. All in favor?
Yeah.
Minutes are approved.
Aye.
All right. You're all very enthusiastic this morning. Everyone's caffeinated and dug out from the snow. Representative Albright?
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to report that the folks in Prior Lake are a hardy lot, and after 12 inches of snow, we still refuse to give up on life.
Congratulations. Okay, we have two bills today. We've got, I'm going to move House File 1688. Representative Mullery, go ahead and move your bill for possible inclusion. We're going to lay that over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And to your bill.
Basically, this is a real simple thing. It just brings this in line with the Human Rights Department, with what we do in all other areas of law. As probably most of you know, I practiced law for 35 years, so a pretty common to have cases where the minor child reached 18 and no case had been brought on their behalf. So since they couldn't bring one beforehand, under the legal system we have, they were given a year to bring the case, and that's in every area of the law I can think of. In this area especially, it's important because, for instance, if it's a school or something that they're involved with, they may not want to, both them and their parents may not want to bring an action where there can be some kind of a retaliation. So this gives them the 1 year, just like in all other areas of law. It's a pretty simple bill. And Scott Butel will, I don't know if you need any more explanation. It's really simple, but he can go through the fiscal and any questions we have.
Very good. Welcome to the committee. If you'd introduce yourself for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Scott Butel. I'm the legislative liaison with the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. I think Representative Mullery did a very good job of briefly summarizing what is a very succinct bill. Basically, it would align the Minnesota Human Rights Act's tolling provision for minors with the general civil statute, and basically that would mean that the statute of limitations would stop running on their claim, would be tolled until they turn 18, at which point the one-year statute of limitations would kick in, as it does with all other claims. This really covers a very small number of cases that we deal with generally. Over the last 3 years, we've averaged about 13 cases a year that were filed on behalf of minors by their parents or legal guardians. That's about 1 to 2% of all of our cases that we see before the department. We believe that this wouldn't have a fiscal cost. We think most of these claims would probably still be filed on behalf of the minor by their parent. The most common claims we see are actually education claims where disability is the basis. So I think those parents would still want to try to resolve those claims as quickly as possible, but this creates sort of an additional option that's consistent with the rest of the civil statute to allow those minors to pursue those claims once they turn 18 if they had reasons for doing so. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody from the public wishing to testify? Once, twice gone. We'll move on to member questions. I see Representative Johnson, you have got a question.
Thank you, Representative Mullery, for the bill. Just to the chair, out of curiosity, why, if there's no fiscal impact, is this committee hearing it? Do you have a sense of why that is?
That we're reviewing it. Question. Ms. Roberts? Madam Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson. As you know, we have heard lots of bills in this committee that don't have a fiscal impact at all, and this is part of our purview in the Human Rights Department. We're actually going to be having them come in and talk about some other issues here in the future, and just gives us a better overall picture of the department and what they do. Here, if you see in the notes that we have, it's 600 to 700 cases it looks like that you're covering on this. And I think it's just a better way for us to understand that the departments that are under our purview, what exactly they do. So,
Representative Johnson, nothing further? Other member questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Mullery, for bringing this up. It seems like an interesting bill to me. Oh, by the way, you've been practicing for how many years, did you say?
I shouldn't say that. You can compute.
I guess the difference between our professions, sir, is that you're still practicing. If I said that I was practicing flying, it would take a different limelight. Anyway, I'm kind of curious about the statute of limitations. We're going to take this, adding another year onto to the statute of limitations. But I'm kind of curious, is there a lot of cases that have come forward that have not been able to be presented because there's been this limitation?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I certainly don't have the knowledge of how many cases there are, but I can tell you in my legal practice, there were cases where the child had a legitimate claim, and for whatever reason, sometimes their parents were dead and they'd have to have a guardian bring it. The case hadn't been brought and they had a legitimate claim, and so as far back, you know, going back into even into Old English law, we had that right for the child to have some right to have. They have a right there, and they should have some time in which to enforce it. And actually, on some cases, we give them 6 years after they reach 18, a lot of cases. And so this is a 1 year, which is certainly not a, I mean, it's a lot less than the normal 6 years.
Representative Anderson.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. That answers it. Thank you.
Representative Rumbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Butel, then, have you been operating under just a sort of a common understanding in these cases that you need to get about a year, and or what have you done up till now, I guess?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rumbach, and members, up to this point, there has been some case law, and forgive me, I don't remember the specific, I think it was a state Supreme Court case that ruled a few years back that the general tolling provisions did not apply to the Human Rights Act or other statutes that had a specific statute of limitations with them in them. And the Minnesota Human Rights Act right now has a one-year statute of limitations, but it doesn't speak specifically to the issues by minors. So right now, currently, if a minor has a claim, their parents or guardians would have 1 year to file it on their behalf. So if I was, say, 15 and believed that I was discriminated against in my school due to a disability, I'd have until I turned, or my parents would have until I turned 16 to file that charge. So that's what we've been operating on right now. The clock just runs the same for everyone else, which is different than kind of the general civil procedure that tolls those, that stops the statute of limitations until I, as a minor, turn 18, and then I would get my 1 year to exercise that claim.
But Mr. Chair, and sir, then without this law, say somebody coming at age 19, or his parents coming at age 19, that case has been allowed to proceed?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rumbach, at this point, no, that case would not be allowed to proceed unless, I guess hypothetically, if I was, you know, exactly 18, I would have 1 year from that date. But if I was 17 and I came to try to file a charge at age 19, my claim wouldn't be timely and I wouldn't be able to file.
All right, thank you.
Other member questions? Hearing none, I will renew my motion to for 1688 to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Moving on, Representative Joachim, I see you are in the room. As you're coming up, I will move your House File 1957 for possible inclusion. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you've brought treats. Well done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of course, I firmly believe in tradition, and as a freshman, I have not presented in front of this committee yet. So, of course, the treats came with me. They're ginger molasses cookies. They're a family recipe, so please enjoy.
Very good. Representative Yukon.
Thank you, Chair, and members. Before I scrub, I want to say that I have an amendment to House File 1957. It's labeled A16-80859. Is it in your packets?
I will move your amendment. Put the bill in the shape the author would like. Members, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. To your bill.
Thank you, Chair.
As amended.
The amendment changes the bill to a report instead of a requirement of implementation regarding fee for electronic filing for state income tax return And the Department of Revenue would like to prepare a report that would include what the system would cost if we would move to this free mode, vendor capabilities, security, accessibility. Currently, Minnesotans pay a fee to file online unless they meet a certain income requirement. So this report would delve into that a little bit more. It would ask for an ROI, a request for information, and work with vendors. And since the majority of Minnesotans are filing their taxes electronically, I've had a few constituents approach me, and I had just started to look into it when I had Senator Rest present me with a bill to carry in the House, that they find filing electronically quicker, easier, and it leaves less room for error as it walks them through the process. The bill as amended would give the direction to the Department of Revenue to study how they would put this in place, and they would come back to the legislature with a report by March 16, 2017. The bill appropriates $175,000 to fulfill this task and is in line with the fiscal note that you've been presented in your packets. I'm going to turn it over to Terry Stenblock, Assistant Commissioner of Individual Taxes from the Department of Revenue, to explain the approach that they would take if this bill was enacted and to answer any questions that you may have.
Ms. Stenblock, welcome to the committee. If you'd introduce yourself for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Terry Steenblock, and I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Individual Taxes at the Department of Revenue. And I'd like to thank Representative Joachim for bringing this bill forward. Like you, we have had requests to provide taxpayers with free electronic solutions for filing their individual income taxes. We've researched what other states are doing in this area, and we have listened to taxpayers. Taxpayers are telling us they want a free electronic solution that does more than allow them to fill in a PDF copy of a tax return and email it to us. They want a solution that works for all taxpayers and not just those who have a simple return, i.e. no worksheets or schedules. They want a solution that makes it easier for them to file an accurate tax return, and they want a solution that does not require them to go to multiple different places to file a return. So again, one place where they can file the federal tax return and the state tax return. In order to successfully administer the tax system, at a minimum, the department needs a solution that keeps the return filing process linked to the IRS modernized electronic filing process. And there are numerous reasons for wanting to make sure that we keep those two linked together. A solution that does not create an environment for filing of fraudulent tax returns. A solution that maintains the security and safety of taxpayer information. A solution that keeps up with all the state and federal tax law changes so that taxpayers can file a timely and accurate tax return. And a solution that is easy for taxpayers to use, creating a more accurate tax return that reflects the tax benefits that taxpayers are entitled to. We appreciate this language because it provides the opportunity to research and recommend a free electronic filing solution, which includes requesting information from consumer-based tax filing software vendors, and provide a report that gives you the options and estimated costs associated with the option that could be exercised to allow taxpayers to file for free in a way that's simple, effective, and meaningful, that allows the department to successfully administer the tax system, and that identifies costs associated with a free filing solution. So thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for providing me with the opportunity to testify today on this bill, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Steenblock. Any members of the public wishing to testify before we move on to member questions? Once, twice, moving on. Representative Lunan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for testifying today, Ms. Stenbach. Currently, the department, what are their costs for processing? This would just be for individual tax returns, not corporate ones?
Ms. Stenbach.
Mr. Chair, members, as it stands right now, this would be for individual income tax taxpayers, and it would be a study that we would conduct to determine what that solution would look like and what it would mean to the state.
Representative Bloom?
What are the current costs the department incurs for processing individual tax returns?
Ms. Steenbach.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the costs associated with filing a tax return really depends on a variety of different things. It depends upon whether it's paper or electronically filed. It depends upon you know, what we need to do in order to review the return. So I don't have that cost with me, but there are a lot of variables associated to what it would cost to process the return.
Representative Lynn?
Would it be possible that we could get that, just the bottom number, what the total cost is to the department?
Sure, I'll write that down and take that back.
Representative Lennon.
And you brought up a point that it depends on whether it's a paper return or an electronic return. The cost to for one return, for the, you take them your whatever your total costs are for paper returns, I'm assuming you have it broken down that way, divided by how many paper returns you do, what the cost per return is to the department to process those versus the cost for doing an electronic return per return for the cost for those. Okay. I'm assuming, I guess I'll ask you the question. Currently, is the experience of the department that it's more efficient, a little more cost effective for them to receive a return electronically rather than having to deal with a paper copy?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Representative. You know, it's more than just how the return is filed. We have a responsibility to make sure that we're issuing the right refund to the right taxpayer. So whether it's electronically filed or paper return filed, there is work that goes into making sure we're reviewing that return again to make sure we're issuing the right refund to the right taxpayer.
Representative Lunan.
Well, you had made the comment earlier that that cost, there's variables involved, and the one you mentioned was whether it was an electronic return or a paper return. I guess where I'm going with this is that if we make this move, and I support doing this, that if it's done right, it should generate enough savings to the department to fund it with simply a reallocation of resources.
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Representative, again, one of the biggest aspects, so with paper, you know, you have to process that paper and get it into the system. But the biggest component behind issuing a taxpayer a refund and the largest cost behind that is making sure that we're issuing the right refund to the right taxpayer. And that takes people to be able to review the return. Again, making sure that it's an accurate return, but also making sure that it's not a fraudulent return.
Representative Lunan,
final one. Would it be possible for us to get or could you get us the figure for what the data entry costs are for the department to digitalize basically what you're doing to enter into the system, if we could get that figure?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we'll take that back.
Thank you.
Moving on, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the author or to the department, I was under the of the understanding that about 85% of state returns currently are filed electronically. So I'm curious as to the necessity for this type of a filing system. Could you respond to that?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Representative, you're correct in that about 85% of taxpayers electronically file, but most taxpayers, in order to electronically file, have to pay a fee in order to do that. And so this bill allows us the opportunity to research a free file solution so that all taxpayers would have the opportunity to electronically file. And it gives us some time to work with consumer-based vendors to determine what other possible solutions may be available to offer a free file solution to taxpayers.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And so I'm just curious, for the 15% that are not filing electronically, obviously they're providing a paper return. Do we know if they are being assisted in actually filing a return electronically, paper through some other means, whether it be H&R Block, or are these individual returns that are being mailed in? I mean, for 15%, it seems like a study that may be a solution looking for a question here.
Ms. Steenblock or Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I can answer that a little bit better. Representative Albright, this bill is more about service and ease and providing something taxpayers have been asking for. Part of that in return would be maybe a slight savings, but mostly it's about making sure people have a tool that they can implement themselves, or the preparers are a little bit easier for them, and it walks them through it. That's why we don't want to have it something where they can just fill in boxes online. It would walk them through what's missing on their tax return, give them prompts, and that's also why I want to go out for requests for information, because we might find out after talking to the vendors that, you know what, this is a great idea, but this is just going to cost the state too much money. So that's why this step, instead of telling the Department of Revenue just to implement it, I want to make sure that we're talking to the experts, talking to the vendors, seeing what works before we spend a lot of money on it.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, and I'm presuming for the author of the bill that Minute would undertake a contribution to this, and I'm wondering if the chair might weigh in on how that might be worrisome or of a concern to this committee.
Well, I will first defer Representative Albright to Representative Joachim. Have you researched, will Minute be doing this particular work?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Albright. No, because I'm leaving it up to the Department of Revenue, the experts, to decide what the best way is to go out for requests for information.
Very good. Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, I think that in light of well, I certainly appreciate the author's intent. I think that the system is working quite well. And there are a number of mechanisms, as with TurboTax and others, where you can actually be provided with a free return at the state level as well. So I'm concerned that we're undertaking something that's already being accomplished by the free market system.
Representative Albright, thank you. Moving on, Oh, by all means, Representative Joachim. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Actually, there are applications where you can file on for free online, but you have to be under a certain income. So it's not reaching a lot of folks that are out there in the middle class.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Now we'll move on. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have concerns, too, about the 15% that are currently not filing electronically. But I'm concerned for another reason. I've been approached by taxpayers this year, people that normally file their own taxes online, or not online, but on paper, because they don't have computers, they don't have access to the Internet, and so either they have to go to someplace and file for them and pay for that, and so they're having trouble getting their taxes done. And I guess the concern I have, and I guess the question I have for Ms. Steenblok is, this isn't going to be a step down the line of eliminating paper forms all the way, so that people that don't have computers, and they're surprising there's a large number still that don't have or use computers, will be able to still file their taxes without having to go to a service and pay to have it done.
Ms. Steenblok.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, no, this would not eliminate paper tax returns. It's another option for taxpayers to be able to file a timely and accurate tax return, but we would not be eliminating paper tax return.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the concern I have also is I've been approached that people are having trouble this year even getting the forms. If they don't have a computer to download the forms, and if you don't have a computer and you don't know how to use a computer, it's difficult to even get the forms this year to be able to do their taxes. So that's a concern I have. That's why I don't want to make sure that we're not walking down that road to say, well, it's only 15%, let's go to all electronic filing, and now you're eliminating a bunch of people that aren't going to be able to get their taxes done.
Ms. Steenblok, any retort? Representative Joachim?
Actually, yes, Chair. I think what Representative Nelson is asking about is more about the federal conformity and the conformity issues, that because we started so late in session, we weren't able to get they weren't able to get the forms online, or I'll let Ms. Steenblok explain.
Ms. Steenblok.
Mr. Chair, so what happens because of the federal conformity, that the forms become outdated and the instruction booklets become outdated. And so by having those forms and instructions in the library, taxpayers are filing incorrect returns, which has a negative impact on them. So any taxpayer who's looking for tax forms and instructions can contact us, and we will send them out to them. And that way we also have a list of who we've sent them to, so that in the event there is a change and we would need to reach out, we would be able to do that if we needed to.
Representative Nelson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I've had a few people in my district and constituents and other people I know that have approached me this year that have had the trouble getting forms. They said they're not in the libraries. They don't, you know, because they don't have computers, they don't know where to go to look. And when you say to contact the department, they don't know to do that. So it's a matter, there should be, we're not going to put the forms out at the places where they're not usually used to getting them, we should have, there should be notices put up, contact with phone numbers to call, because this, because I've had numerous people come to me and complain about that, about having difficulty getting the forms they need to file their taxes because they don't do it electronically.
Ms. Steenblock, Representative Joachim?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we did send to all the libraries in the state a packet of information that includes posters that they can post, which tells them where the taxpayer can reach out to us for state forms. They still have to get their federal forms from the IRS, but we sent information to all libraries providing them with contact information on how taxpayers can get that, and also provided them with information to the free VITA tax preparation sites and other information.
Representative Nelson, anything further?
Well, I got the Mr. Chair, and is those VITA sites, are they have to access the code, again, those by computer, or those phone numbers the places to call? Because, again, if you don't have a computer and you don't know how to use a computer, or you don't have internet access, it's difficult. It's getting more and more difficult for people that don't have chosen not to make that step, and a lot of these are elderly people that have been doing their taxes for years, to get the information they need, because everything now seems to be going over to computers and just assume everyone has one. And this is something I've been beating on for a few years on different situations where people want access or want information, and have been getting the information for years, and we just seem to be going to this, that you have to have it on a computer. Well, if you don't have internet access and can't afford to pay for that, or you don't have a computer and don't know how to use it, it's difficult. It's getting more and more difficult for these people to get the information they need to do the stuff that they need to do, like file their taxes.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Nelson, and you bring up a good point. It is getting harder for folks with paper, but that's why we're doing a report, right? We're reaching out to see what it would look like, and if we do end up having more people filing electronically online, then maybe the people that are filing with paper will be able to get more help because there'll be more resources. So it's kind of a double-edged sword that way. And that's why, like I said, I'll repeat again, that is why I want to go out for a report to see what's available, to see what's out there, to see what it would look like. I tend to err on that and asking the experts on how to do that instead of just telling them what to do. So I hope you can find your way to support this bill, but I'll stand for more questions.
Representative Nelson, anything further? Moving on, we have Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Testifier. I'm still confused as to the need for the bill. I'm just trying to figure out, if I understand it, now tell me if I'm wrong here, we currently have electronic filing that everybody can choose to do. We have 85% of the people that are doing it, meaning that we have most that want to do that are doing it. 15% are not using it, probably the same 15% that won't do it in the future. We know what the cost of the electronic filing is to the consumer. We know how many people are done. Seems to me I would multiply the two and we would get exactly what it would cost the state to switch over to free electronic filing. The system that we have apparently is working for that 85%, and we don't need to go into a new system, do we? Is this just a form, a report in which we are trying to get a new system and pay for it through others, or are we going to use the same system? And if the system is working, why would we change it? I'm just really confused about why we would need a report to tell us how we would switch from what we're currently doing to what would be free, when all we have to do is just multiply the two figures together. Am I missing something here?
Ms. Steenblock, Representative Joachim.
Chair, Representative, I wish it were that simple. Part of the 85% includes people that are paying preparers to do their stuff online, and it is also, there is no free online unless you're under a certain income threshold. So once again, this is more about providing a service for constituents that have been asking for it, to ease the system, to make sure that people are filing accurate tax forms, and it's a report to see if this would be the better way to go and see how people would respond to it.
So the 85% that you're talking about that keeps getting thrown out here includes people that are filing online through preparers. This would be a way for an individual to be able to file online for free by themselves if they so chose, or still go through preparers, because we know everybody's taxes are different. Everybody needs different services and different tools to file them. But it just gives one more option, one more service to constituents to make sure that everybody's filing their taxes.
Representative Petersburg.
So are you, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm still confused. Can't individuals still do that now, file electronically? I mean, if that's the case, what, and yeah, the preparers will can do it and the others do it. So are you saying that you're going to have personnel that is going to actually be talking to these individuals and creating the preparation? If it's just truly electronic filing in which everybody can go to the computer and do it, that's what they currently can do now. So I don't understand how this reporting and even what we're asking them to do is going to be any different than what we currently do. And if it's the same as what we're currently doing, then we certainly should have that information already. It's just a matter of compiling it.
Representative Joachim.
Chair, Representative, I'll take one more stab and then I'll throw it over to Ms. Steenblock. People are filing online, but it costs money.
Yeah,
for people to file online, yes. So this is a report to go out to see what it would take to put free electronic filing online for state income tax to make it easier for constituents, to help them walk through it. So that's why I'm doing the report, to see if that's the approach. But Ms. Steenbach can give a little bit more information about why it would look a little bit different and what the differences are.
Ms. Steenbach.
Mr. Chair, Representative. So in today's world, probably the number one request that we receive from taxpayers is they want the ability to file their tax return for free electronically. What this study allows us to do, there's many different options that could be explored. Which one is right for taxpayers and the state of Minnesota is yet to be determined, and the study would help us determine that. So what we would do, so some states have a PDF, and they just allow the taxpayer to fill out that PDF and submit it. It doesn't do any calculations for the taxpayer. It's basically a paper or electronic copy of a paper return. The feedback we've heard from the states that have implemented that is that they have a low usage on that, and the taxpayers, it doesn't help the taxpayers navigate through. It doesn't have wizard functionality. So could that be a solution that works for us? We don't know. That would be something that we would take a look at here as well. Taxpayers who are filing using a TurboTax or a Tax Slayer or a Tax Act, they have to pay that software vendor in order to file their return electronically. And the fee that they pay varies significantly based on the provider and the product that they're using. And so one of the things that we would do by being able to issue a request for information is to set some standards, send out some information to consumer-based products like those Tax Slayers, those Intuits, those Tax Acts, and ask them to respond to meeting, you know, could they offer something that would allow all taxpayers to file, and what would that look like, and what would that cost if we were to do something like that. And by doing it with the vendors that are out there today, we keep the returns linked. So in today's world, when you file your federal return, that goes through the IRS, and your state return stays with it. And then your state return kind of breaks off and comes in to us. If we're able to create a solution that allows taxpayers to file, but using the software products that they're currently using, we can keep them together like that. And from a convenience perspective, the taxpayer doesn't have to worry about, I have to use one product to file my federal return, I have to use another product to file my state return. You know, did I file my state return? Did I file my federal return? It eliminates some of that cumbersome pieces of it for the taxpayer. It also maintains some fraud and some security functionality that's very important to not only the taxpayers, but to the revenue agencies as well. And so this study is taking a look at, is there something different that we could do to make sure you know, we're offering products that taxpayers need in order to file an accurate and timely return that allows us to maintain the integrity and the security that we're providing.
Representative Petersburg?
Thank you, and I guess maybe I'll take another stab at it, too. It sounds like from your testimony, the biggest request you had was, how do we file our taxes for free rather than having a fee? Excuse me. A fee. Well, if that's the case, if what they're really just looking for is free filing, I think that's a lot simpler to do than what you're suggesting and expanding it upon. And so I just ask you to think about that as well, that if we're looking for is free, we'll just appropriate more funding that would be equal to the cost of whatever is being charged, and then it would be free. That's certainly a lot simpler than doing all this, but I'll leave it go for now. Thank you.
Representative Joachim?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. And maybe you actually boiled it down and made it a lot clearer. Thank you. That's what the report's doing. It's going out to look and see what that system would look like, because unless we're working with the vendors that are out there, that won't happen. So we have to go out and ask for the request for information to see how that would work and functionality with our current system.
Follow-up, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Actually, we have a vendor. We're already using it. We know what that cost is, so all we have to do is just calculate that, because we are electronically filing now, so the vendor that we're using will certainly work. So thank you.
Chair.
Representative Joachim.
I'll let Representative Steenbach answer that.
Representative Steenbach, you got a promotion.
Ms.
Steenbach. Ms. Steenbach.
You can tell I haven't had enough coffee this morning. Yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we don't currently have a vendor that we use. And the vendors aren't on contract with the state. They aren't regulated. The software vendors are, there's a multitude of products out there. At both that they can use to file both a state and a federal tax return, but there isn't one vendor, and the costs vary significantly across the vendors. The technology varies significantly across the vendors. The customer service that they provide varies significantly across the vendors. So there isn't currently a vendor that the state uses.
Representative Petersburg? No. Okay, next we have Representative Anderson S. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Steenblock, can you tell me what's the income threshold now for those that can file free?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Chair Anderson, the income threshold varies depending upon what the software vendors are providing. So what happens is each year we ask the software vendors if they are going to be providing a free product at the state level. And then the software vendors, the requirements for that vary depending upon the software vendor. So some will say, if you're a member of the military, we offer it free. And that may be it for that particular vendor. Another one may say the income needs to be $30,000 or less. Another one may say $20,000 or less. So it really varies depending upon the vendors. They're not required to offer a free product to states either, and they set the criteria for that.
And Mr. Chair, Ms. Steenblock, what I would like for you to do is for the taxes that are happening this year and the vendors that are doing it for the state taxes, I would like to see what the income thresholds are of those different vendors. So I understand that it maybe varies from year to year. Just tell me what it is for this year at least. And then I would also like to ask, how long have we been at the 85% level, Ms. Steenblock, for people that are filing electronically, or have we seen a trend of people doing that going up? So we did, 5 years ago, was it at 75%, or you know, what's been the trend on people going that route rather than the paper route?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Chair Anderson, I can tell you the length of time that I've been in this role, it has pretty much plateaued between 82 and 85%. We haven't seen it go above 85% for as long as I've been in this role.
And Mr. Chair and Ms. Steenblock, can you tell me, I can't remember, do you get a break for filing electronically at all?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Chair Anderson, no, you don't.
Okay. Well, you know, I appreciate the comments that Representative Nelson had. There are definitely people out there that don't want to go the electronic route for whatever reason that it may be. But I also understand the concerns that Representative Petersburg has mentioned of we're basically creating something that's already been created and exists, and we're kind of beating a dead horse, so to speak. So for me, when I look at this, I like the bill for the perspective if it could get us a cost savings from the state level. And one of the frustrations that I've had is we have gone to electronic means on the state level for several different things, including filing our campaign finance reports. We are required to file those electronically, essentially. So my concern is in this report, Representative Joaquin, is there's nothing that says how much is this going to save the state? Because if you've got the technology to be able to give you red flags when there's something wrong with someone's tax return, that should be a huge cost savings to the state. We see that in our campaign finance report. They get a red flag if something is off. When we're filing it itself, we get a notice that says, oh, you've done this wrong, do it again. So to me, this should have a huge cost savings to the state. And that's what I think if this bill moves forward, you need to have in the study component, how is this going to save the state money by making it easier to do that? So, Ms. Steenblock, can you tell me, you have a large amount of people that are processing the paper claims. If you were to get more, that remaining 15% to go electronically, how would that change the department's way of managing things and a cost savings to the state?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Chair Anderson. Again, you know, fraud is on the rise. There is a significant increase in identity theft. And just because a return is electronically filed does not mean it does not need to be reviewed to make sure we're issuing the right refund to the right person. And so that will not go away as we continue to, no matter how we receive a return from a taxpayer, we still need to look at that. And unfortunately, in the day and age of identity theft and fraud on the rise, the returns look very similar to a fraudulent return looks very similar to a traditional return that you or I would file and prepare. So we still need people to be able to review each return to make sure we're issuing the right refund to the right taxpayer.
But Mr. Chair and Ms. Steenblock, you have to admit, though, that technology allows you to red flag these things. So rather than having an individual personally reviewing each one of the returns for those potential fraud items, the technology is there to be able to kick it out and say, there's something wrong with this return. It's no different than what we have in our campaign finance reports that we have to file. It kicks it out as there's something wrong with this and you need to fix it. So there's got to be some kind of cost saving. If you are going to do this, are you anticipating that there would be an increase in staff or a decrease in staff, or would staff stay the same?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Chair Anderson, I don't know. I mean, the purpose of the study would be able to research what options are out there and what those options mean. Again, you know, if a return is kicked out, it still needs somebody to look at it to determine why it was kicked out and what the issues are. So again, the purpose behind this legislation would be to conduct a study and give us the opportunity to look at what options are available and what those options look like and be able to bring that back to you in the form of a report.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, to me personally, I think that this would need to see some kind of cost savings from the state. I understand that you feel that you still need to have some, but this is the day and age of electronic technology being able to give us a lot of different tools that would be able to address these issues and give us red flags and be able to maximize how we handle these things. But without that component in the actual study, I would agree with Representative Petersburg, then we're just doing something that is already provided and we're not getting any benefit from it in the long run. So,
Ms. Steenblock, anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll move on to Representative Anderson M.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I always get a kick out of this word, the usage of the word free, especially when it comes to government. The only states that we really have a free system like this is Florida, Texas, South Dakota, Wyoming, because they don't have a state income tax. So they don't really have to worry about anything happening with fraud or anything in those states. Free as it applies to this. We're already starting off with a study that amazingly cost us a free $175,000. That's a lot of money. I'd like to know the study that even came up with the $175,000 to spend for another study. I'm a businessman. I just can't fathom these types of numbers for studies. That being said, I'd like to know from either one of you, what are we currently charging for a filing fee for just not a corporation, but just an average taxpayer?
Ms. Steenblock.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we don't charge the fee. The fees vary based on whether a preparer does it, and those fees vary based on what services the preparer is providing and their fee structure. From an electronic perspective, the fee that somebody pays to electronically file their return varies depending upon the product that they're using and what that vendor provides. We don't have a listing of those prices that vendors are charging right now because vendors are not affiliated with us. So that would vary depending upon the vendor or the preparer.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Steenblock, where I'm going with this is that we have a lot of companies out there that are charging for their services. And so wouldn't this be kind of working against the private sector by offering a, quote, free state involvement? Here, we'll let, even if it's $5 to off a TurboTax to charge for a Minnesota taxpayer, isn't that kind of taking more money out of the private sector by saying we'll offer it for free?
Ms. Steenblock, Representative Yukim.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Actually, the vendors would be, this report would come back to see, we'd be contracting with the vendors. So the vendors would still get a fee. Preparers, a lot of people's taxes are complicated. I don't know what the percentage is. Maybe Ms. Steenblock, I don't even know if they know from the back end how many people actually use preparers to file their taxes. I don't know if that's going to change that much. I think this is more going to change the individuals that are trying to file on their own and that have less complicated taxes that are looking for a system that's accurate and helps them walk them through it. And while it helps them walk them through it and gives them flags on their end, as Ms. Steenblock has said, it doesn't help, it doesn't necessarily, depending on what vendors we use, and that's part of the report, give the flags on the tail end to look for fraud, to look for issues. So that is all what the report and I would expect, and maybe if there's, I don't know if there'd be a friendly amendment. My understanding, it's in this committee because of the appropriation. So if you think the appropriation's too high, I didn't see any amendments filed in the 24-hour rule, but I would be happy to accept a friendly amendment to lower the appropriation as well. And the appropriation was done through the fiscal note process.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as another side note, my return gets flagged every year because of the percentage that I get. Not the numbers, but just the percentage. So I'm used to getting red flagged every single year. To Ms. Steenblock, one other question. Going back to something I think Representative Albright brought up earlier, as far as corporations would not be able to file for this this free service. So my question is, what would be the scope of the individual or S corp or LLC sole proprietorship? Or who would be eligible outside of the lower income from participating in this free service?
To the testifiers, Representative Joachim, Ms. Steenblock.
I'll leave that to Ms. Steenblock to maybe answer. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative, this study was focused on individual income tax. We could certainly look at this piece of it and look at other tax types as well. I think with the other tax types, it really depends. There are different variables. And again, this isn't, this is looking at individuals and it's looking at software vendors and all options and bringing a report back to give you different options that would allow taxpayers to file their returns electronically.
Representative, no? Okay, moving on. Representative Kahn.
Well, first of all, I guess I'd like to know, and I'm sorry if you said this and I missed it, I'd like to know what the on line 1.15. Well, I guess I should look at the delete everything amendment.
Yeah.
I guess I don't see it now in here, but I'm concerned about the apparently the answer to your question, which says that Minute was not going to be involved in this or was not going to control it. And I just go back to past experience of I think that all of the technological, a great part, let me never say all, of the technological problems we had with Minsure came from the elimination of Minute from taking care of that. And the House, we took care of it carefully, I think, with Representative Nelson and GovOp. We removed the exemption in the original Minsure bill from Minute control, but unfortunately in the last, you know, and I sort of watched it all through the House and forgot to hit the last hour of the conference committee where the Senate put it back in. Now, we, last year, with the help of Chairman Anderson, we removed that exemption from Minute, from Minsure, and it looks as if maybe we're going down, and this is obviously more simpler than setting up the technological system of for Minsure, but it looks like it's your answer, although I don't quite see it in the bill, looks like it was another exemption. And this is an issue I feel very strongly about it. I actually worked on it in collaboration with now chair of the Republican Party, Keith Downey. And I remember Governor Dayton said the greatest thing about passing the computer consolidation bill was seeing Kahn and Downey hugging on the House floor when it passed. But I'm really concerned about whenever that starts to come up again. I'll also point out that the consolidation, the latest estimate I have that consolidation has saved us about $45 million since it occurred in 2014 until now. That's the last estimate on it. Mainly that's cost avoidance issues, not hiring new CIOs for a department, kind of combining CIOs to work across departments. I know this is a terminally boring issue. As soon as I talk about it, either on the campaign trail or in the legislature, you can see eyes glazing over. But it's one of the things that I look that I'm sensitive about, and I'm not sure I see it in the bill, but I did hear it from your comments, so I'd like to know how Minute gets to be involved in this.
Well, Representative Kahn, I'm sure you'll remember that I do get excited about these things, so I love talking about IT.
You were not right. You and I are the only two people. Mr. Chairman, yes, you know, I did compliment you and say you had become the new Keith Downey. So I don't know how many people consider that a compliment, but I did.
Keep the old boss the same as the... Yeah. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Kahn, for the question. And I understand where you're coming from, that the report just initially goes out for a request for information with private companies to see what it will cost for that. And then we can always look internally with Minute if that comes back to see. It doesn't exempt us from looking at Minute. It just talks about going out for requests for information. I know that Ms. Steenbach did some research in other states and how much more expensive sometimes it can be to build it internally. But that that could be a question we do after we go out for the request for information. It doesn't exempt from talking to Minute. There's no language in here that does that.
Representative Kahn.
Well, you know, I think the people who should go out for the request for information is actually Minute. And I think Minute has okayed a lot of private. I think that they have gone with private contracts when they're available. But, as I said, I don't know how to fix it right at this point. But using the Minsure example, and I guess, if it comes back to Minute, it's sort of okay. But, I just get nervous whenever I hear that exemption coming up, although I don't see the exemption quite in this.
Representative Joaquin.
Chair, Representative Kahn, I think Ms. Steenbach has a little bit to add to my comments.
Ms. Steenbach.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn. So within our agency, we do have a chief information officer that is a member of MNIT. And anytime we do things like this, whether regardless of what the project is, they are brought into the process as well. So there would, in a sense, be a component of MNIT as we look at doing this study and what that means. The final study would be reviewed by that individual as well.
Well, Mr. Chairman, why is brought into the process mean a little bit different thing to me than controlling the process?
Representative Kahn?
No, that's the question. I mean, that's a statement, whatever it is.
Ms. Dean.
I just think because of the Minshew example, we ought to be very careful about it. And apparently what happened was that before we passed the law that we passed, or that we passed last year, which I think I brought to committee and Representative Anderson incorporated into her bill, actually the new leadership of Minshew had resolved most of the conflicts and I think was working exactly the way we anticipated they would work with MNIT. But, you know, the damage had been done. So, you know, again, I'm just nervous about something that looks like it's an like it might be an exemption.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. In the interest of time, we're going to move to Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like work fills the time available. We should have had more bills today. you know, we must file, and it's a mandate on us. And when we mandate a city or school district, we always say, don't do an unfunded mandate. Make sure it's covered. Well, I refuse to pay a vendor, so I mail it in. It could so easily go electronically, but it can't unless I pay somebody. Most people today just use a vendor automatically. I understand that. That's not going to change. They never think about their taxes. They just hand it over to somebody else. But I think of it. I do it. And I just refuse to pay somebody to send it in electronically. So I put it in the mail. But it is so easy to just do it electronically if I just had a way. This would not hurt the vendors. People need vendors in order to help them do their processing. This is a state service that we're talking about here. It's for a mandated item, and it used to, you talk about saving state money. Well, the state money is taxpayer money, and you're making the taxpayers go through a process of paying it if they want it to go electronically. So it's coming from the taxpayers either way. This is a state service we're talking about here for a mandated thing that we're required to do. Let us file electronically without having to pay.
Okay. We're going to last question, member question, Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are tax preparers required to file electronically?
Ms. Steenbach.
Mr. Chair, Representative, there are thresholds where if they have so many taxpayers, they're required to do it. I don't know what that is. I would say required in the sense of if they don't, they don't necessarily have to. If they don't, I believe that there's a cost to them per return. But again, this isn't in relation to the preparers. This is just doing a study to see what options are out there for individuals.
Well, Representative
Irma. Mr. Chairman, I understand my preparer says she has to file electronically. That's a requirement, and I don't know what the parameters are. She's got more than me to do, and she has a bunch of them.
Ms. Steenblatt?
And that's the charge, then.
Mr. Chair, Representative, there is a level, again, I don't know what that level is for preparers that have X number of clients. They would be required to. If they chose not to, then they would pay an additional fee per return, and I don't have that data with me.
Representative Earhart, anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. Chair Anderson has asked for, no, we're good. Well, I will take a very brief moment and agree with Representative Kahn that I have reservations about as to whom from an IT perspective is going to be doing this. I also think from my personal real-world experience that an 85% saturation rate is about as good as you're going to get currently
So I have some reservations about trying to get a greater adoption rate for something that, as you have said, Ms. Steenblok, has already seen its plateau for quite some time. But with that, members, I will renew my motion
Chair,
to
Chair, could I
Representative Joachim.
Final word.
Final word.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. Once again, I hope you consider this bill. If it is a way that we can provide a service for our constituents for something that we're requiring them to do. And it's not meant to get more people or require more people to file online. It's to provide a service so that they have an ease to filing online for something that we're requiring them to do without a fee. I have to agree with Representative Lane. My husband helps me with my taxes, and we do our taxes, and we're individuals. He has four jobs, so it's a complicated tax return. I have two jobs. We still file it by paper because he refuses to go to prepare and pay for it. So I think there's a lot of folks out there besides those, and I know there was some mention of just those that would qualify that are low income. Right now, those that are qualified that are low income can file online. I'm talking about more people being able to file online electronically their state income tax for free because it's something that we're demanding that they do. So I hope you'll consider this bill. This is just a report to see what this would look like. It would go to the tax committee, I believe. I forgot to ask the chair where this bill is moving afterwards.
Representative Joachim, we have this being laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Just to let you know, it is in the Senate tax bill as the language that you see before us. So I'm sorry, I was assuming it would be going to the tax committee next, but of course it's in your purview to do with this bill what you wish. So I hope that then you'll continue this discussion, and we're both available for any questions any members might have offline. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Joachim. With that, I will renew my motion to lay over House File 1957 for possible inclusion. And with that, members, we are adjourned.